Good morning, Stokey family and friends, and a happy Sabbath to you all. Don't know what your week's been like, but mine was good until Thursday, and then I was kind of knocked off my perch, and I had to reconnect and steady myself. So it's good that no matter what your week has been, that we can all worship in this place and in this fashion. The psalmist tells us that the earth is filled with God's wonders, from the sunrise to the sunset. So let us be joyful. Let us just praise God. Let us forget the baggage and the woes of the week, and let us connect with our Father. Welcome to this service today, our friends, our family, our visitors. We welcome you all as we just look forward and focus our minds on the love of our Heavenly Father. Welcome in this place.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, shelters thee under His wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. There have been granted in what He ordained. Praise to the Lord, who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, if with His love He be friendly. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore Him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before Him. Let the amen sound from His people again, gladly forever adore Him, gladly forever.
Church. The scripture reading is taken from Mark chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. That is Mark chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. And I'll read now. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come again there, Father, to give you praise, to give you thanks for watching over us and for keeping us. As we worship today, Lord, we pray that your Spirit will be amongst us and that you will be with us in spirit and in truth. We ask in a special way that you remember every head that are bowed here, every family there, Father. As we bow our heads there, Father, our faces are different and so are problems, Lord. And that's why we're here today, to give you our problems and also to look for you for direction in our lives. Lord, we ask that you would remember the children amongst our household, the teenager amongst our household. We pray that you greet them, there, Father, in this difficult time in which so many people are having different problems. And they're having problems in terms of fighting battles for jobs, for health. They're having problems in terms of how they get on with their employer. And so, Lord, we're coming to you, there, Father, to strengthen us day by day. Every week we meet, there, Father, to reimburse with strength, Lord, that we can go forward with faith. There are times when we find ourselves lonely, the time we find ourselves sad, there, Father, but your words bolster us up, there, Father, and keep us. And so, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would even hear our prayer this morning. Your ear is never deaf to hear our prayer or petition. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would remember those who are suffering throughout this world, this pandemic, and also those who are suffering in terms of what's going on around the world, the Middle East, the Caribbean, and even India, Lord. We pray that your Spirit will be there. And those who are leading out there, Father, let you go forward and give them direction how they should lead. We cannot do anything, Lord, without you direct us. We ask in a special way, Lord, that you would also remember the sick amongst our brethren, that you would build us all there, Father, that you will heal their maladies there, Father, as we come to you. We ask, Lord, in a special way that you'll please hear our prayer this morning. In a special, remember the speaker who should speak to us today, Lord. We pray that you'll bless the message. We pray that you'll bless the messenger. And Lord, the ears that are listening there, Father, we pray too that we would receive a blessing. And so, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Let's pray for the tithes and offering. Precious God and eternal Father, we want to thank you that you have given us the Sabbath day to wake up to see another day. We thank you that you have given us jobs. We thank you that you have sent us out to labor and give back what is due to you, Lord. We pray that as we bless this offering, we ask you that you will go to your further of your word. Bless that can give and those cannot give, Lord. We ask you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Brother Basil.
Wonderful. I can hear one voice. Praise the Lord. There are a few voices here.
Yes.
As my lovely wife said today, they're ups and downs in the week, but guess what? We're here to praise the Lord. We're here to seek him, and we know that he's always here with us. And wherever we go, we know he'll be with us. I'd just like to welcome our speaker this morning, who is Pastor Maslin Holness from the East End. She has studied at Newburgh College for some time, and she's now a minister. I've been a minister for over 20 years. She's currently reside at the Stratford and Raynham Church, and I'm sure those churches have been blessed with her ministry, and I know that we too are going to be blessed with her ministry. And so I'd like to welcome Pastor Maslin to our Stoughton-Newton congregation. As you can see, we are a friendly church. We are a family church. And we welcome you to our household. And I pray the Lord continue to bless you as you continue to minister to people near and far. And I know many souls will be won for his kingdom because of your witness, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, Happy Sabbath, Church.
Happy Sabbath. Okay. Oh, you're tired of chasing pretty rainbows. Oh, you're tired of spinning round and round. Wrap up all the shattered dreams of your life. And at the feet of Jesus, lay them down. Give them all, give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded heart, and broken toes. Give them all, give them all to Jesus, and he will turn your sorrows into joy. He never said you only see sunshine. He never said there'd be no rain. He only promised a heart full of singing, and now the very thing that once brought pain. Give them all, give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded heart, and broken toys. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus, and he will turn your sorrows into joy. Give them all, give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded heart, and broken toys. Give them all, give them all to Jesus, and he will turn your sorrows into joy. And he will turn your sorrows into joy, into joy. He will turn your sorrows into joy.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Sister Janet, for your song. Happy Sabbath, everyone, at Stoke Newington. It's been a while. Tell me, are you yet to open your church, or is it open as well as you have in online services?
It is exclusively online services for the moment, but okay, we will be open soon by the grace of God.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're in between as well. We are online and we are also open, but I have to say that it's very slow for members to come back to church. So I pray that by God's grace, all of these restrictions will be lifted soon so people can feel really comfortable about returning to church to a new normal. I'm just going to read again the scripture reading, but I'm going to read it from a different version, a more modern translation, Mark chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And it reads, and one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, came and seeing him, went down at his feet and made strong prayers to him, saying, my little daughter is near to death. It is my prayer that you will come, put your hands on her so that she may be made well and have life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for spared life. We thank you for the week that we've had, even if it was difficult. We thank you that your holy presence is with us, and we pray that you will bless us. Father, forgive me of my sins, iniquities, transgressions, my weaknesses, dear Jesus, anything that stands as a barrier, and we pray, God, that you will speak so that we may be encouraged. Bless our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's been a very heavy 14 months, hasn't it? And, you know, there are many things that can disturb us in our life, in our peace and happiness. And one of those things that does come home to us is death. And I am going to speak about it a little bit today. You know, we are told from the Bible and from God's word that we have the capacity that whatever comes our way, that we should not be afraid if we have faith in Jesus Christ. And you know, there are some people who believe that faith is just an opinion, but it always depends on the eye of the beholder, the one who is actually contemplating what faith is all about. The Bible tells us that each of us have been given a measure of faith. But I want to say to you today that saving faith in Jesus, it gives Christians the edge. It increases your confidence that no matter what you face, no matter what dire circumstances comes your way, in a crisis, we can become more confident that we are overcomers and that we are conquerors in Jesus. And so in the book of Mark, we come across the lives of three people, Father, a little girl and a woman. And the one I want to focus on is the little girl. She is always associated with her father, Jairus, and we always call her Jairus's daughter. One day when Jesus had been teaching in the vicinity of Capernaum, he was suddenly interrupted by an urgent plea from this influential synagogue ruler whose name was Jairus. He was in need, and that need brought him to the feet of Jesus. The Bible says he threw aside all dignity and pride and fell at Jesus's feet and begged him for help. My little girl lies at the point of death. I pray that you can lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. You know, when we are going through our own personal crisis and it involves somebody that we love, we will almost do anything, right, for that person. Jairus's daughter was just 12 years old. She had barely begun to live her life when death came knocking at her door. Jairus knew and heard about Jesus, and no doubt he believed that Jesus could heal his daughter. And I imagine that Jesus could sense Jairus's urgency. He could read the distress and the emotional turmoil on his face. The Bible simply says that Jesus just acted. He didn't actually respond. He just set off with Jairus to Jairus's home to heal his daughter. And we are told that there was a large crowd of people who followed Jesus. Maybe some were just curious. Maybe some had heard about the other miracles that Jesus had done, and they wanted to see if he really could heal this little girl. But I love the way that Jesus is always calm in a crisis. You know, we need to learn from that. Sometimes when things come upon us that we're not expected, we throw all of our faith away. We panic and we're just flustered by all the circumstances that comes with a crisis. But Jesus is always calm and never flustered. I want us to remember, though, that in our own personal crisis, never underestimate God's presence. God cares about us, all of us, whether we know him personally as a Christian or not. He cares about our circumstances and he cares about our situation. And he is always very near to us, even when we can't trace or understand what he's doing. We should never forget that he is there. But on the way to Jairus's house, a woman in the crowd interrupted Jesus. She also was sick and in need of help. She was hemorrhaging for 12 years, as long as Jairus's daughter was alive. Nobody really knows where exactly this woman came from. They don't know much about her past, but she was as desperate about her situation as Jairus was about his daughters. Here were two people who didn't know each other, yet their worlds collided. And the Bible says that this woman was sick, yet she managed to touch the hem of Jesus's garment and was instantly healed, according to verse 28 and 29. Now, Jesus, for whatever reason, felt that touch of faith. but he wouldn't let the incident go without putting a face to the person who touched him. And so he stopped right there, changed his focus from Jairus to this unknown person, this unknown woman who had touched him. And unfortunately for Jairus, his journey was incredibly delayed. It was interrupted by this woman. So picture the scene with me. Crowds of people are all around Jesus. The disciples are trying to be, you know, bouncers, as we call them today, to protect Jesus from anyone who got too close to him. And Jesus just stops right there and engages in a conversation with the crowd and says, "Who touched me?" in verse 30. And after much commotion, this woman eventually comes forward and she acknowledges that she touched him. And in her confession, she says, "Yes, it was me, I imagine." Jesus takes even more time to educate this woman about saving faith in verse 34, while Jairus had to wait. You see, she believed that if you touched the garment, that would be enough for her to be healed. But Jesus wanted to address that notion, that myth that she had, because it had nothing to do with his garment. He wanted her to know that it was her faith in him that had healed her. And so it was a great day for this woman. She was physically healed, she was emotionally healed, and she was intellectually educated about the truth. She got more than she bargained for. She was blessed. But what about Jairus? He was yet to receive his blessings. And you know, I can almost imagine the scene, thinking that, you know, come on, Jesus, you know, we need to get to my daughter's house. We need to get there because she really needs you. But delays will always happen in life. There will always be different things that interrupt or change our circumstances. Some of it we have no control over. And we don't always understand how God works things out. Just because we're faithful Christians, just because we're Seventh-day Adventists, it doesn't mean that we will not have distresses and dire circumstances within our lives. There are delays to our prayers. There are delays to circumstances. When we're going through, you know, unemployment, it might be that we've been waiting for years for God to do something and there is no answer. It may be a long time that we're waiting for a diagnosis and we keep waiting to hear what is actually wrong with me and there is no answer. We could be going through a tribunal. It could be some injustice that's been done to us and we've been waiting for years for God to come through. And it seems as though God never answers our prayers. And there are times when we cry for light to come out of our darkness and there is more darkness. Sometimes we ask God to deliver us from our circumstances and then there is more disaster. Sometimes we cry to God, you know, if you're real, Lord, please enter into my crisis. Please resolve the situation. And sometimes there is no immediate answer. I'm sure for Jairus, from his perspective on that day, at that moment, he thought that that woman was more important to Jesus than his little girl. And you can imagine, you know, Jairus just looking at the direction of his house and willing Jesus to move on from this conversation he's having with this woman. He imagines his daughter is lying there afflicted because it took a lot for him to leave her at that critical moment to go and seek help already. And then Jesus was having a conversation with a woman who already lived her life. She's done everything. And my little girl is just tiny and small, and you know, she's just beginning. Come and save her. She's more important than this woman. In his mind, every second, every moment counted. And as Jairus waited for Jesus, that worst nightmare, that scenario that you hate, you know, when Job said, "The thing that I dreaded most is come upon me." You know, and it's almost as though you're not prepared for it. Even though you're a Christian, you know it can happen to you, but you always think it's going to happen to somebody else. It's going to be somebody else's problem, not your problem. The Bible says some men from his own home was heading in Jairus' direction. And, you know, he must have known or felt you know, that tremor of bad news. It means that, you know, they're coming to me. So it means that something has happened. And the worst words fell from their lips in verse 35. Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher? You know, Jesus was the one person who had the ability and the means to heal his beloved daughter. But for Jairus at that moment, those who came from his house told him it was too late. There are times in our lives when we feel that Jesus is too late, right? He's missed the boat. He didn't do it. And I'm sure that Jairus was going through those very moments of sadness, knowing that his daughter was now dead. But you know, brothers and sisters, it seems to me that whilst Jairus was a Christian, he was a synagogue ruler, he was well known in his community, he wasn't prepared for the inevitable. And we should all be. It doesn't matter, you know, how young you are or how old you are. Anything can happen at any time. But he wasn't ready, or he wasn't willing to accept that his daughter could die. Do you know that they say that there's only 13% of the population in the UK who have made preparation or have told a friend or family what they want to happen should they die? That means that there's a big number of individuals who have not done that. And, you know, as a community of, you know, faith, sometimes a community of people of color, you know, we never want to talk about the inevitable, because somehow we think that if we start preparing our wills, if we start doing this, something bad is going to happen to us. But God expects us to be good stewards of all that he has given to us. We should not be afraid to die. We should not be afraid to talk about death. But sometimes we only talk about it when we see the inevitable happening. And it shouldn't be that way. I'm sure for Jairus, in his mind, he knew exactly what he thought Jesus would do for him. You know how it is sometimes when we've got a problem and we sense that God is going to answer. We think, oh, this is how you should do it, Jesus. This is how you should go about this situation, Jesus. And then when he doesn't, or when it doesn't happen, that feeling of dread, that feeling of guilt, that feeling of despair and distress begins to take over all of your emotions. And then we start to blame ourselves. We start to examine ourselves. We look at what we didn't do from what we could have done better and what we should have done, you know. And then after all of that looking and getting stressed out about the situation, we're left shattered. Our dreams are broken. Our hope is almost gone. You know, I'm never surprised at the emotional trauma that death causes many people, because it creates barriers where there were none. It creates problems where there were none. Yet death is one of the sure things that in this life you can be sure will happen to you, unless, of course, Christ comes. Sadly, we're not prepared, but we should be. We should put our houses in order. We should write our wills. You know, I walk with something that's in my wallet that should anything happen to me anywhere, they know who to contact. They know what I require, because you can die in any uncertain circumstances. And every single one of us on this platform recognizes that the devil is after those who faithfully follow Jesus and keep his commandments. So we are more of his target than anyone else. And yet sometimes we live as though there is no devil, there is no Satan. He's not coming after me, he'll come after somebody else. We should put our houses in order. We should pay off our debts if we can. And we should leave things in such a way that when our family and our friends come together, they can say that, hey, you know, Brother Pyle or whoever, Sister Cynthia has put her house in order. That's a good steward for the Lord. I'm sure when those words dropped from those messengers who came to Jairus and told him that his daughter was dead, you know, in his mind, that word, I failed, came to mind. I failed. because I didn't protect my daughter. I failed because I wasn't there. I failed because I didn't stop Jesus. I didn't interfere in that conversation he was having with the woman and tell him, Jesus, please, let's go. I didn't tell Jesus exactly how urgent it was. I didn't tell her that, you know, I didn't tell him that, you know, this was her last breath that she's taken before I left my house today. And so that feeling, that word, that self-talk that we do to ourselves, I have failed, I have failed, I have failed, came across his thoughts. But by contrast, when Jesus heard the same words the messenger had said to Jairus, he simply just overlooked it, or he ignored it, whatever you want to think, in verse 36. And he turned to Jairus and he said, be not afraid, just believe. Even saying those words out loud from the scriptures, it sounds ridiculous, because believe what? Believe who? What can happen now? You know, the inevitable, the worst has already happened. What possibly could happen now? I want to say to you today that sometimes how Jesus speaks to us, it may sound as though he's being unfeeling, or he's being uncaring, or he's even being ridiculous. But what Jesus was doing with Jairus, he was challenging Jairus to arise above what his emotions were brutally telling him. Yes, his daughter had died, but it wasn't the end. Jesus was asking Jairus to rise above your circumstances. And sometimes we need that extra boost in our faith to help us to rise above exactly the disaster that has just taken place. But it's hard to do that when everything you've ever valued, when your dreams are shattered, you know, it is hard to rise above even that level of faith that we have sometimes. And so we have to pray to God that when that crisis comes our way, that we can actually rise above how we immediately think, humanly speaking, that is, and still exercise faith. Because it really takes a lot of faith to do what Jairus did. You see, when we read it from the pages of scripture, we just say, oh, you know, he should have had faith, you know, automatically. I mean, he's with Jesus. You know, unfortunately, you know, the Bible's only given us summary pictures of what happened. It doesn't give us the blow-by-blow account of everything that took place. And so you imagine that someone has actually died. They've come from your house. They've told you that your daughter is dead. You knew she was sick. You knew how dire the circumstances was. And then they say, you know, it's no point in even bothering Jesus now. You're just wasting your time. It's pointless. It takes a lot of faith to keep walking, because death and sin, it destroys families. It destroys relationships. It brings the worst out of people. And sometimes it brings the best too. Death does not only destroy our family network at times, but it can really destroy you if you do not take control. And you have to have that kind of faith that Jesus was challenging Jairus to have, to rise above your immediate circumstances. Because in a way, what Jesus was saying to Jairus is, yes, your daughter has died, but nothing has changed for me. I can still help you. I can help you in life, and I can help you in death. This was one strong man. It doesn't say he was a Jew. He was a ruler of a synagogue, but it doesn't say he was a Jew. So his faith was really being tested at that time. And it took every fiber in Jairus' being to not conform to those words that the messengers had said to him, to stop. Don't continue this journey. You know, Jesus can't help you. And there's a lesson here for us that we must keep moving regardless of our circumstances, even when the clock has stopped ticking. Even when they've handed you the death certificate of the one you love, you have to keep moving. And so for Jairus at that time, every single step that he took was a massive step of faith. You know, and the reason why he could keep walking is because Jesus had to stop walking. Jesus was still heading to Jairus' house. And that meant that Jairus had to also keep moving. And that's why I say we can never underestimate God's presence being with us. He is with us all the time. And no matter what circumstances we face, we must keep moving. Every step that Jairus took is our step of faith when we face our crises. And that walk that we take with Jesus, you know, because we're all going to a destination. We're all, in fact, going to our Jairus' house. Whatever that Jairus' house represents for you today, we all have to take that journey. The Bible goes on to tell us that Jesus did arrive at Jairus' house. And then there was a great commotion taking place there. There were mourners. There were those who were there who were saying all manner of things. And, you know, Jesus said it was just the sleep that this little girl was in. And people were laughing at him and ridiculing him. And then Jesus just cleared the whole room and left just the parents and three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, with him. That whole circumstances, again, reaffirmed to Jairus that my daughter is certainly dead. But he went with Jesus to the room. And Jesus knelt down and took that little girl's hand and said, little girl, I say to you, get up, in verse 41. She was dead, but Jesus resurrected her little frame. She got up and she walked around. You know, in the presence of Christ, death has no power. Death cannot tell Jesus what to do. Jesus tells death what to do because we know he has the keys and we know that he's in control. He can reverse our circumstances. He can fast track our circumstances. He can do anything. When Jairus first met Jesus, he was a troubled man with a little bit of faith, but faith enough to ask Jesus for help. When his daughter died, Jairus was a broken man. But when Jesus told him, just believe, his faith began to grow again. And it grew with every step that he took to take the rest of the journey to his house. You know, going through a crisis and having to walk that road, sometimes alone, sometimes with family, sometimes with friends, is very difficult. But don't be ashamed when the tears fall, because we are emotional beings. So whilst we're walking through our crisis, yes, we're going to cry. Yes, we're going to shake. Yes, we're going to feel as though our heart is bursting out of our chest. Yes, we're going to walk with our stomach full of turmoil and trouble. Yes, we will have all of those experiences, but we must remember that Jesus walks with us. He is present in our circumstances, but he does call us to exercise greater faith when we're going through our crisis. And that's what we all have to do. We all have to somehow keep walking, because our walk is a spiritual journey that we take with Jesus. It means that we blot out the enemy as such. We blot out what he is trying to tell us, and we take on board what Jesus is telling us. And he asks us to do that very often in our lives when God has not delivered you yet. That's when he asks us to exercise that extra faith, because when he asked Jairus, that, you know, you must believe. He hadn't got to the house. He hadn't done anything for Jairus' daughter. He could have done it from where he was, but he asked him to take the journey with him through those difficult, stormy steps to his house. And even when he got there, he had to wait until Jesus says, little girl, I say, get up. Everyone's on a journey. All of us have a destination we want to get to. And I pray that that destination is that we'll make it to the heavenly kingdom. And there will be trouble. There will be strife. There will be distress. There will be all manner of things that break out in our lives. And as we are in our last days, expect them to come even more and quicker. Don't you see how time is just flying away? When God said he will cut time short, everything seems to be moving quite fast. But if we are not aware of the times in which we live, we can find ourselves not making that journey And we can find ourselves crying and breaking down, losing faith before we ever get to our Jairus' house. As Christians, as Seventh-day Adventists, we do not deny that bad things happen to good people. We do not deny that bad things happen to Seventh-day Adventists. We do not deny, you know, trouble and trauma will come our way because we live in a real world with real problems. And we don't deny sometimes that we will go through bereavement. And there are those who will tell us, you know, you must stop crying. Obviously, you mustn't cry forever. But, you know, when you're going through your emotional turmoil, there are those who will tell you that you need to have more faith as a Christian. And, you know, when you express those feelings as though, you know, I am distressed, you know, you want the person to say, you know, let me sing a song, you know, let me sing a song of Zion so that I can pretend, you know, that I'm not going through what I'm going through. Nobody knows if Jairus wasn't crying when he was walking with Jesus. None of us know. The scriptures don't tell us. But whatever it was that Jesus gave to Jairus, he gives to us today as well. And he can help us to get through the turmoil. Furthermore, as Adventist Christians, we must realize too that when we're going through our crisis, when we're going through our storms, it is not a weakness to get clinical help, to get support from counselors, to help us through our time of grief. Again, sometimes as Christians, we won't do that because we think, oh, that's going to the world. Hello, God is in charge of the world and he has his people everywhere who are there to help us if we need it.
Amen.
So we must pray and we must ask God in supplication, open the way for me because I need professional help. I need help as I take my journey with you. God doesn't only work with Christians. He works in the world because the world is his. Everything belongs to God. And so whilst we're walking, brothers and sisters, I pray and I hope that as Adventist Christians, we're not too proud to say I need help. We're not too proud to say to my brother and sister, someone that we can trust, someone who will help us along the way, I need support. Because oftentimes what happens is that we suffer in silence. And the longer we suffer in silence, the more it is likely to move to when we need professional or clinical help. And the longer we do that, it means that the time to recover will be longer. So as we humble ourselves and as we recognize that we need help, ask for help as soon as you see there's a problem. Do not delay. One day, God will return, Jesus will return, and he will take away our suffering and our pain. And he will bring us to our final destination, which is the place that he's prepared for us in heaven. But until that time comes, we all have to do the walk, sometimes alone, sometimes with friends, sometimes with family, but never without Jesus. He is God with us. He is with us whether we can trace him or not. There is nothing in this life that you cannot face without Jesus. There is no place too deep where you can't call out to Jesus or Jesus cannot find you. The whole world is his, but he asks us all to keep walking, keep trusting, and one day we will get to our Jairus' house when he ushers in his kingdom. May God bless us today and may his face shine upon us and may he give us his eternal peace. Amen.
Amen. Praise his holy name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It is safely moored, 'twill the storm withstand, for 'tis well secured by the Savior's hand. And the cables passed from his heart to mine can defy the blast through strength divine. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. When our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore, with the storms all past forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are just most grateful that you are our anchor. You are our solid rock, our foundation, and on which nothing breaks. We thank you, Lord, for the reality of Jairus, his desire to seek your help and to take that walk of faith with you to his house. Father, we do not deny that there are times when we have so much problems, so many things unfolding in our life, but we look forward to the day when you'll take us out of it all. So, Lord, we pray that you'll keep us from falling. We pray that you'll present us faultless before your throne of grace, and that we will one day behold your beauty, and we will be able to say that it was all worth it in the end. Please bless this church, bless its leaders, bless its members, and those in its community. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen.